turned on. Okay. One of the things that I want to say to you guys is that it is, to me, it is a great honor to stand up here and talk to you. I consider it, you guys are seasoned Christians. And that is so important to me because we don't have to worry about, it's easy to offend people. It really is. But this whole chapter, to me, is a culmination of everything that has happened in the book of Revelation up to now. All of a sudden, John, through the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, because this is a revelation that is given by Jesus Christ to John, and everybody knows on the Isle of Patmos. So this is what I'm trying to say, is that it is incredibly important that we make everything clear as to what God is trying to say through John, and especially in this 20th chapter, because in the 20th chapter, John paints a picture. This is essentially a great big huge word picture. Everybody knows what those mean. And thank you. And the thing is that the word pictures that I can see, I was going to have people read scriptures this morning, and I forgot all about it, so I'll have to read them myself. Okay. The thing that I'm trying to bring home to you is that there are, when you get to the last verse of this chapter, the sobering, hardest part of being a human being comes into play. Because if you ain't got it there, then you ain't going to heaven. Eternity. Eternity is very, very, very much the central focus, especially when you hit the last verse. Because eternity is what everything is that everybody's facing at one time or another. You know what? Your next minute's not guaranteed. I could have a stroke and die right here. People, happens to people every day. Will I have a chance to get, I got to get into all of this and understand it before that happens? Well, thank God for grace. Because if there wasn't God's grace, we'd all be in trouble. Boy, I'm telling you. Okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read the verse. I'm going to read all of Revelation 20. And I'm going to read it. I've read it in about four or five different versions. And frankly, it really needs to be read. And when it is, then we'll take it. I sectionalized it. So it's all going to be in sections because there's so much happening in this particular chapter. Okay, we'll start with verse 1, Revelation 20, and this is out of the Amplified Version. Then I saw an angel descending from heaven. He was holding the key of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. And he gripped and overpowered the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and securely bound him for 1,000 years. Must have done that with a chain. Then he hurled him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and closed it and sealed it above him so that he should no longer lead astray and deceive and seduce the nations until the 1,000 years were at an end. After that, he must be liberated for a short time. See, now I'm going to stop right there just for a few seconds. I'm going to say, why is he being liberated? God liberates him. He sets him up for a great big battle that he's going to lose. I can't wait to get to that part because here comes fire out of heaven. Gone. I mean, gone. Jesus takes care of them all by himself. Then I saw thrones, and sitting on them were those to whom authority to act as judges and to pass sentence was entrusted. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been slain with axes, beheaded. I'm off all of a sudden off. There we go. Beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for preaching and testifying the word of God, and who had refused to pay homage to the beast or his statue and had not accepted his mark or permitted it to be stamped on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived again and ruled with Christ the Messiah for 1,000 years. The remainder of the dead were not, listen closely, not restored to life. Wow. again until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. The title of this talk is Two Resurrections, and I'm going to go into both of them. Okay. But keep in mind that not everybody was in that particular, only the wicked dead. Okay? Important that you know that. Blessed and holy, happy, spiritually whole, unimpaired innocence, and proven virtue is the person who takes part in the first resurrection. Over them the second death exerts no power or authority, but they shall be ministers of God and of Christ, the Messiah, and they shall rule along with him 1,000 years. So that's the scene. Here's the scene. They're going to rule with him, those of us that are blessed and holy. Wow, what a place to be in. To be in that grouping of people. Because the wicked are where? They're still in the ground. They're still in the graves. But those of us during the 1,000 years are ruling, reigning, and governing with Jesus on the earth. And when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his place of confinement, and he will go forth to deceive, seduce the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. I've heard that that was Russia. To muster them for war, their number is like the sand of the sea. And they swarmed up over the broad plain of the earth and encircled the fortress, the camp of God, God's people, thus, and the beloved city. But, oh, I love that word. Jesus is on the scene. And what does he do? But fire descended from heaven and consumed them. Poof. Then the devil who had led them astray was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever through the ages of the ages. Then I saw, now he comes into the great white throne judgment. Then I saw a great white throne and the one who was seated upon it, and from whose presence and from whose sight was so powerful. This scene was so powerful. And what happened? And earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. Can you imagine that? I can't. What a scene. Jesus shows up. Here's this great earth. Not going to use earth. Not going to use the universe. Not going to use the heavens. They just fled away because this whole thing has been created for the great white throne judgment. Just makes me just tremble with fear just thinking about the scene. I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, which is really the central theme of my talk. Okay, and the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors, in accordance with what was recorded in the books. And the sea delivered up the dead who were in the death and Hades, also called Sheol. The state of death or disembodied existence surrendered the dead in them, and all were tried and their cases determined by what they had done according to their motives and aims and works. Then death and Hades, the state of death, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if here's that last verse. I'm going to pause here because this last verse is the meat of what we need to pay attention to. Does anybody know what it says? There you go. And if those whose names, and if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. Gentlemen, the most important moment once Hebrews 9:27 happens is, and that particular verse says that it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. But the most important moment when you're standing in front of Jesus is what he says to you. He's looking down to see if your name is written in the book of life. And if it's not there, he has to look at you and say, depart from me, I never knew you. Serious, serious business. That means that you go into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. You don't have a chance to come back because he didn't see your name written there. So the point is that I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just wanting you to know that the love of Jesus is sitting there, and there you're standing there in front of him for all eternity. And you say to him, but I trusted in you and your death on the cross, and I trusted. Or you did. I'm under your precious blood, Lord. That's where I am. And what are we going to... And they say, well, now, wait a minute. You really trusted me? Are you just now making that profession? You needed to make that profession while you're alive on the earth. Well, I heard somebody tell me about that, but I never really did anything about it. Oh, my goodness. What a horrible moment to be in. Because it has to be done while you're alive. It has to be done while you got your last breath in it. My father did. He's laying there. He's 66 years old. I got there 20 minutes before he died. I was the last child out of five to watch my father before he went off into eternity. And I got down into his ear, and all the machines were showing that he was dying, wasn't going to be alive very much longer. And I said, Daddy, tell Jesus you love him. Ask him to forgive your sins and take you home with him. Simple plan. He did. He did. And when he did, it is a moment that I'll never forget in my life. It's a moment that is so full of power. I mean, I cried hard when my father died. But the point is this, is that he did it because I could see it on the machines that he did it. I don't know how else to put this. So I'm just really trying my hardest to be aware. But my father, he turned around with his eyes and he looked at me and there was great peace in his eyes. And that's what the Lord was showing me. That he, at that very last, all he had to do was be alive and profess Christ. And the Lord's great mercy comes upon you. I mean, Pastor Randy Frank isn't here, a chaplain. He isn't here this morning, but I'll tell you what, he was under the knife. But I want you guys to know that he probably sees this a lot when he goes into hospitals, because that's what he does, and catches people in their last final moments. You know, I just want you guys to understand that. Okay, let's take this apart. An angel came down from heaven and bound Satan, so that means that he had a job to do, and he caught him and seized him, and so that took care of Satan. Then there was a timetable that got set up for the 1,000 years. Then the martyrs come into play, and they had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, for the word of God, and not worshiping the beast. So they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Again, I'm gonna just kind of go over what this chapter is. Again, important to note that they did not come back to life after the 1,000 years were ended. So the first resurrection belongs to the blessed and holy. Okay? The blessed and holy. And those who were to share in that. The second death has no power over them. And Satan is released. Now, guys, I could get caught up in all of these resurrections that are happening. There's about five of them. There's the resurrection of Jesus. He rose up, and when he rose up from the dead, before that is when he died, and there was all the graves opened. Matthew 27 verses 52 and 53. All the graves were opened, but nobody came out because Jesus hadn't rose yet. And then when he actually rose from the dead 3 days later, then they all came out, and all the Bible says is that they went into the city and appeared to many. Oh, I would have loved to have seen a little more recorded. What did the Sanhedrin do with all those faces that they put to death? My goodness. And Jesus is standing in the whole front of the pack. Wow. Certain things we'll just have to wait until we get there. So now, that's one of the resurrections. The second resurrection is the church age. All right, we're in the church age now. We're in the age of the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody that argues that? We're in the age of the Holy Spirit. It started when Jesus was rose, went into up into clouds. So here we are, and we come all the way fast forward to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 16 to the end. That I got this right here. It's very important that you guys hear this, because the 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read. Again, these are all about the book of life. Each and every one of these. Luke 10:20 is about that. Nevertheless, do not rejoice, Jesus speaking, at this, that the saints are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are enrolled in heaven, or written down in heaven. That's one place. And then there's the other one here that I have. Very important that I get these right. You guys need to hear these. These are verses that are 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51. Take notice. I tell you a mystery, Paul speaking. We shall not all fall asleep in death, but we shall all be changed, transformed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call. That's important. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable. Okay, for this perishable part of us turns to become imperishable nature, and this mortal part of us must put on immortality. And he goes back and forth about immortality, and he comes all the way down here. Oh, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? So the thing is that that's another one. Okay, and that talks about we're transformed, we're getting ready to be taken up, to leap the Lord in the air. Here's the 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven and with the blast of the trumpet of God, and those who departed this life in Christ will raise first. Then we, the living ones who remain, shall simultaneously be caught up along with the resurrected in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so always, through the eternities, we shall be with the Lord. So, take a look at this. The great white throne judgment happens. God is separating the sheep from the goats, right? He's separating the sheep from the goats. And who are we? The sheep, right? All right. Very important you get that right. But the important thing is that we are the blessed and the holy. Boy, man, I'm still working on getting holy. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but there's this soul inside here that I war with all day long. It's called my flesh. And it has to be put under the blood of Jesus all the time, because it always constantly wants. But my spirit man has been sealed by the, I'll say it a third time, sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of Christ's return. You can find that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Your spirit man is sealed by the Holy Spirit, and it is kept sinless until the great, you heard me say that, until the great return of Jesus, when we get drawn up to meet the Lord in the air. It's reserved for your spirit, man. Your soul is still being crucified day by day by day, because it wars against the spirit. The Greek term is called merismos. It means divided asunder. Okay? So these things are happening all day long. But the important thing is that when you come to this 15th verse in Revelation 20, that it is absolutely, completely, and totally understood. And it says, and if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was thrown in the lake of fire. Now, here's the deal. The important thing is that in this chapter, you've got the devil being bound up, released, coming back into the earth 1,000 years later. And when that happens, God's got him set up for this great big battle. Armageddon happens. So when Armageddon happens, he gets destroyed. They're saying that, and I stood there. I went there, Valley of Megiddo, and I looked out across that. And you can't, as far as the eye can see, all it is farmland. But I was standing there, and I was looking across it, and I bought one of those bottles of oil, and I used it to anoint people. But I'm telling you, man, wow, can you imagine the blood being as high as a horse's nose there? Man, that's a lot of people. And they're all going to be against God. But God, fire from heaven is going to destroy the whole thing. So Jesus has set him up for the last. And then the false prophet and the beast will be cast in the lake of fire, waiting for Hades, waiting for these things to all be cast in the lake of fire. My goodness. So that's quite a sign, quite a sight. So the important thing is, and I want to make this very, very clear, that we understand what we need to do to share with people. It's very, very controversial, and people tell, I'm scared of Revelation. Gee, I don't want to go there. I don't even want to look in the book. A lot of people don't like that. But you, and with the love of Jesus, you've got to tell them that the love of Jesus is waiting for them. He died on the cross so that you guys don't have to worry, and they don't have to worry about going into the lake of fire. Why? It takes, I'm going to give you guys the two most powerful words that I learned when I was 23 years old, a personal relationship. Because I was raised Catholic. I don't know anybody else in here was, but I certainly was. And when I was raised, this was the best thing that my parents had for me back in those days, growing up in Harvard, Illinois. But I want you to know that the fullness of my Christianity didn't really come forth until I found out, A, you're going to have a relationship with the church. I don't care whether you're Lutheran or Catholic, Episcopalian. Whatever you are, you can have a relationship with sacramentalism. Yes, it's there. But there's a personal relationship to be had with Jesus. And until that happens, the rest of it is just a bunch of acts. Because he says, you've got to be born again. Whoa, that shines a whole different... Jesus, what do you mean by that? He's saying no sin can ever enter into heaven. It's impossible. It has to be paid for with blood. Blood sacrifice. And they need to understand, anybody that you come up to with, is that there needs to be a personal relationship. If there's no personal relationship with the risen Savior that's inside and going on and active and powerful, if it's not there, that person will show the fruit of that. And they might get angry with you. Because all of a sudden to them, it's nothing but a bunch of confusion. But inside you, it's a river of life. When Jesus, John 4:23, when Jesus was standing in front of the woman at the well, she kept looking at him, and they were talking back and forth, and he told her she had five husbands. Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And then he said, this water doesn't satisfy, but I will give you water that will give you living water. That's the difference. The difference between my just trying to be good enough and going to church enough is still not going to. Jesus says, well, you went to church 5,655 times. I counted every one of them. But not a one time did you repent of your sins. You just went to Mass and received communion. And you still sinned. You were never transformed. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove, Romans 12:1-2, that you might prove what is the perfect will of God. Oh, man, that excites me. So my living water, which is what is coming on you right now, my living water that Jesus has deposited within me, if it isn't real now, it is a big fake. And I hope and pray to God, after 45 years of this walk, that it is real, it's rich, and you're being blessed by it. Because if it isn't, then I'm nothing but a clanging cymbal, which is in 1 Corinthians 13. I don't want to be a clanging cymbal. I want to be an instrument of the Holy Spirit. And to me, that takes simplicity. It takes love. I've given you guys stories about what's happened in my life the last 45 years of people the Lord's brought to me. You know, over and over and over. I'm going to give you one more. I was at the YMCA. There's this little woman had a red dot in the middle of her forehead, dark-skinned girl. I said, I said, are you from India? She said, oh, yes. I said, well, then are you Hindi? Yes, I am. So I said, gee, can I talk with you a little bit about what I know? And so we started going back and forth, and I said, when you get through with your workout, can I meet you for a few minutes? She said, sure. So then we sat down. She came right into the kingdom. She didn't know anything about God. She didn't. I had the immense pleasure. To me, it's a pleasure and a joy to go into somebody's heart who has never been shared and there's a lot of them out there. You think that everybody knows about the Bible just because they're Americans. No, don't assume that. Too many people out there are waiting to hear about the river of life that is in you, and that is coming out of your eyes, that is waiting to bless the person. Only takes what? One word from the mouth of God to change a heart. Just one word. God's that powerful. He really is. And He wants to use your mouth. He does. He wants to use your mouth. He wants to set that captive free. So this girl was sitting there. All of a sudden, a big smile came on her face. And I know the Holy Spirit had transformed her in the YMCA. It wasn't in church. It wasn't a holy religious setting. No. And guys, I'm going to make you laugh a little bit here. You know what they call me at church? I'm the hot tub preacher. Because I get kids in the hot tub. And they're sitting there. So Wanda and I went down to Tennessee here in the first part of March, and we went down there and I got in the hot tub in the resort that we were staying in. There's five kids sitting there in the hot tub, and I'm standing up in the hot tub, big hot tub. And I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to teach them. So I looked at the five kids and I said, hey guys, can I teach you a few things? Just real sweet, kind, you know, gentle. That's the way you got to come across. You got to come to where they are. You've got to come to whatever your person is saying or doing or thinking, and you've got to love them right where they are and listen to them and find someplace. The Holy Spirit, I'm telling you this, guys, how do I do that? You find a link. I don't care if it's fishing, golf, finding out what denomination they are, whatever it is. Those people want to open up to you because they're hungry and they're full of, they want this zeal. They want this holy fire that's within you. And that's what Jesus is going to say. Ah, He's got my holy fire name written down in heaven. Then you have a wonderful thing waiting for you in this life, and it's called the rewards. I'm going to tell you guys something that's really good news. Are you all listening? Raise your hand. Are you listening? You listening? All right. Here it comes. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder. Set yourself up. Go ahead, have a little faith. So what? Even if you stumble, God wants to use you. I don't care if it's a restaurant or whatever it is. Be what God has made you to be. And when you do it with all of your might. Because the eternity might be in the existence, in the crosshairs or whatever it is that you're talking to that person about. And if you can just get through to where they're hurting and get through to where they're hungry, and you can provide it because that living water is inside of you and it's waiting to come out and bubble all over them. And that might be the greatest day of their lives because your name is written down in the book of life. Nothing more important in this world. Eternity. Amen? So, I explained all this to you guys, and the important thing is, whatever resurrection happens, whenever it is, it's all speculation because it's all there. But I can tell you this, I'm not afraid of the great white throne judgment at all. And Jesus is my Lord and Savior. If someone says to you, well, how do you know if they're a Christian? You just ask Him, is Jesus Lord of your life? Oh, what do you mean? I go to church. Well, I'm basically a good person. But is He Lord? And if they can't answer that, they're not a Christian. They're not born again. Those of us that are born again are excited about telling whatever it is that's the hope that lies within you. Okay. So be excited about being a Christian because your names are written down in heaven. And when the day comes that, and it will come, that you will have to give an answer for the hope that lies within you, then you will be ready and it'll all be in place. Now, I'm going to say this tonight, this morning, because it is important to me that I do this. If there is any man in this room that's not sure that your name is written down in heaven, I want to pray with you right now to make sure that your name is written down in heaven, because it is a matter of faith. It is a matter of what comes out of your mouth. Gentlemen, hear Lowell. What comes out of your mouth are words, and they are little containers. They're containers. They're little, and there's power in your words. Because Jesus says, you are going to have to give an accounting for every idle word you ever said while in the body. Now that is scary. But don't be worried about that. Because there's grace. Okay? So here's the thing. If you don't know that your name is written down in heaven, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to ask you to pray with me. Okay? So if the rest of us will pray with me, that's great. But you guys who are not sure whether your name is written down in heaven, you pray with me right now and we'll settle that issue right now. Okay? So let's close our eyes. Jesus, just say this. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Lord, I repent of everything that I've ever said or done that doesn't please you. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross, for all of it. I accept that sacrifice for my soul, my spirit man. Lord, accept me as your son, your child, a member of the church. Thank you that that offering done for me will present me before the Father as part of the church without spot or wrinkle. I receive you by faith right now. Thank you for writing my name down in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Subtle. Now go get baptized. So the important thing, baptism is an important part of your walk with God. I tell you, I'm so glad I've been baptized 3 times. And the last time was in the Jordan. But I'm just telling you that to me, baptism has everything to do with your walk with Christ. It is not critical to salvation, but it certainly is an important part because that's your signature. Baptism is a signature to the devil and to the world that you belong to Christ. You died with him in the water. When you come up out of the water, you're raised with him in the resurrection. And that's what baptism is about. Okay. So having said that, I'm done. So we ask you to bless, Lord, every ear that heard this. And I thank you, Lord, that you will bring down a special blessing upon these men as they enjoy what it is that you've written. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.